This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Barula Bes.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng, and this morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Robin Lee, CEO and co-founder of HelloGo, which is a gold investment app. And Robin was also CFO at the World Gold Council. Robin, thanks for joining us again. Gold prices have been range-bound for the past 4 to 5 years, and the news would have you believe that there is a rally going on, which of course there is, but by and large, it's just going back to 1,300 levels, which was the level at the start of 2018 after hitting a low of 1,200 in the middle of last year. So I'm very long term here. When will gold price go back to the 1,600 to 1,900 levels that we saw 5 to 6 years back?
Well, hi, Julian. Thanks for having me. That's a very interesting question. I think I look at gold prices from the perspective of who that person is. For a lot of Malaysians, for a lot of your listeners, they don't really have exposure to US dollars. Actually, the exposure and the reference currency is ringgit. So from a ringgit perspective, actually gold has done relatively well over the last few years because gold demonstrated, at least in the Malaysian economy, the kind of attributes that it usually has, which means that when things are not going so well, gold typically tends to kick off. And in the case of the Malaysian economy over the last few years, there was a lot of pressure on the Malaysian ringgit, and gold price went the other way in line with US dollars. And therefore, from a ringgit perspective, it has done quite well.
So when you make that clarion call to ask people to, put little money aside to buy gold, you at the same time making a call that the ringgit is also weakening going forward?
No, not at all. I think I look at gold from not just an institutional perspective, but also from a retail perspective as a kind of insurance. If you think about housing insurance as an example, everyone buys housing insurance for the property with the hope that the housing insurance is literally a waste of money. But when something bad happens, you're thankful that you have housing insurance. And I think gold is the perfect simple asset that everyone has access to that gives them that kind of insurance policy against unforeseen, uncontrollable systemic risks, whether that's at a global level or at a domestic level.
Now, gold also has a negative correlation advantage, which is to say that gold doesn't move at the same direction with the other assets like bonds and equities. What do you think is the recommendation, your recommendation of the percentage of gold people should hold for their portfolio for insurance purposes?
Well, I think if you look at a lot of studies, it ranges anything between 3% to 10%, depending on your risk appetite. And I think for a lot of people, if they have around 5% of their investable wealth in gold, that's a great start. Then, as you move from a wealth accumulation phase to a wealth preservation phase, that percentage in gold tends to creep up to around 10%.
Okay. Yeah. And otherwise, it's what, around 1% to 2%?
No, I think you want to really try to get to about 5%. I mean, you look at some of the family offices, they tend to accumulate all gold because in the wealth preservation game. In the wealth accumulation game, then it really is a function of your risk appetite and whether you believe that the environment is going to go into a risk-on or risk-off situation. I think the issue with gold, as you rightly pointed out, is that it's negatively correlated to most asset classes in times of extreme stress. But under normal market conditions, then it's kind of asymmetric. It has its own little random walk, and you can't really legislate for where it's going to go.
We have Robin Lee, CEO and co-founder of HelloGo, on The Breakfast Grill this morning, and we're talking about gold investment. So, Robin, HelloGo also has what's called the Smart Saver product. This is where your customer saves a minimum of 30 ringgit monthly, or about 1 ringgit a day. And the platform will buy gold daily for your customers at the lowest price possible for that day. How do you guarantee the lowest price? How do you set up your algorithms to achieve the lowest price?
Actually, what we do and why we came about the Smart Saver program is if you look at the press and a lot of the government agencies like EPF and Bank Negara, everyone's been talking about how a lot of Malaysians find it very difficult to save for their financial future. And we wanted to create something that was relatively straightforward, that was affordable for most Malaysians. And I think that's very important. And something that would, you know, mitigate away some of the timing risks. So we dollar average, as you pointed out. We basically buy, we use that 30 ringgit or whatever you choose to commit on a monthly basis, and we buy a portion of that over every working day.
But is there a guarantee that you buy at the low of that particular day?
Yes, absolutely. Because basically what we do is that, you know, from in any 24-hour cycle, we look back at the end of that cycle and look at the lowest price that we recorded. And our price is updated every 5 minutes. And we basically strike the price for that day at that price.
Do you take positions on this from the HelloGo's perspective?
We necessarily have to take a position, because when we commit to sell gold to our customers, we need to own the gold already. So in that sense, we have a float, and we manage that float based on our expected average daily trading volume of our customer base.
So what if you're wrong and it results in a very big paper loss or actual loss?
That's not likely to happen, because our position is, like I said, a function of what our average daily trading volume is rather than our expected daily trading volume over a 1 month, 2 month period. So it's actually a very small position.
Okay. There are also complaints or grouses that the fees seem quite expensive. A 2% transaction fee is charged and an annual management fee of 2%. This compares to a GLD, which is a US listed gold ETF. I believe you were CFO there. And GLD only has an annual management fee of 0.4%. So very much lower than your 2% each way and the annual management fee.
Yes. So the annual management fee is 200 basis points, 2%. Actually, our bid ask is much lower than that. It's I think 80 basis points on the way in and 200 basis points on the way out. I think one of the biggest challenges that we face as a company is our desire to be as transparent as possible with our fee structures. So what we typically do is we don't quote, like a lot of people do, a bid ask spread and then add fees on either side. We actually quote the mid price. So as you know, from a financial product perspective, most financial products have a bid-ask spread. So all we're quoting is basically our spread, but we're giving a level of transparency that's not typically seen in the marketplace.
But GLD is very traded very liquid in the United States, and the bid-ask spread would expect to be quite narrow,
yes.
Right? It's not 2%, is it?
No, that's correct. Yeah. I think there's a fundamental difference between what GLD can offer and the market that GLD is after, and the market that we're trying to support. You know, with GLD, you need to have a brokerage account. You need to have a minimum buy order if you're coming from Malaysia. And so for a lot of people, that is beyond their capability. The benefit that HelloGold brings is that we enable anyone to buy gold from as low as 1 ringgit, which means that actually it is an unprecedented level. Mm-hmm. And at that perspective, if you think about any product in the marketplace and make that comparison at a 1 ringgit level, we're probably one of the only ones, if not the only one. And if there are others, we're probably the cheapest game in town.
Yep. With GLD, I think you need a minimum of 500 ringgit to buy into one share of that ETF. But I suppose instead of, it depends on how you want to do it. You can accumulate 500 in FD and then buy a GLD, or you can start straight away with 1 ringgit and buy into Hello Gold.
I think, yes. Theoretically, you can buy one share of GLD for 500 ringgit, but I think what you'll find is your brokerage fees for that one share is going to be significantly more than 2%.
Really?
Yes.
I thought the online platforms today are about 30 bips, 40 bips.
Oh, absolutely, they are. Right. So, for example, one of the ones that I subscribe to has very low transaction fees, but you need to place a minimum deposit of $10,000.
Okay.
So again, you know, one of the biggest challenges in the traditional financial market space is that the transaction fees are very, very low, but there's a minimum transaction fee. So for example, you know, if you were to buy a product in Malaysia, it could be 30 basis points, which sounds incredibly cheap until you find out that your minimum fee per month is, say, $20.
Mm-hmm. And how do you compare yourself with the gold ETF listed on Bursa, the Affin Hwang Trade Plus Sharia Gold Tracker? Also, it has an annual fee of 60 bips all in, together with the brokerage fee, quite low as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, still very much cheaper than the 2% management fee, 2% transaction fees.
No, I think they're not substitutes. They're complementary products. I think they're targeting two very different sets of audiences. I don't know exactly the percentage of people that have access to brokerage accounts in Malaysia, but in America, as an example, less than 50% of Americans have brokerage accounts. So you have to imagine that that is, at the very minimum, the kind of exclusivity that exists in the Malaysian context. And so we're targeting customers, and we want to serve customers that don't have access to brokerage accounts and have access to a mobile phone. I think they're very complementary products. When, as people get wealthier, they'll migrate to more sophisticated ways of accessing not just gold, but other asset classes.
We're speaking to Robin Lee, CEO and co-founder of HelloGo, this morning on The Breakfast Grill. And coming up next, we'll discuss SC's new rules for digital assets. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
We have Robin Lee, CEO and co-founder of HelloGo, this morning on The Breakfast Grill, and we're talking about gold as part of your portfolio. Robin, just in October 2017, HelloGo had a successful initial coin offering, or ICO. I think it's one of the only Malaysian companies that have, and you can correct me of this, that have issued ICOs. And you sold about 17,000 or over 17,000 HelloGo tokens in the form of Ethereums, which gave you about $5 million in total fundraisings. Tell us how this works, because you would then have to sell the Ethereums to get the cash. And since then, Ethereums was at $300 at that time per coin, and today is less than half of that, at $125, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, we did an ICO which completed in October 2017. It was launched out of Singapore, so it wasn't launched in Malaysia. And we did most of our marketing out of Singapore. We raised about 17,000 Ether, which was, I can't remember exactly how many HelloGold tokens, but it wasn't 17,000 HelloGold tokens. We actually raised 17,000 Ether. We made a decision at that point in time that we would manage the business and use the funds to do what our token holders bought into, which was to use it to grow the business and to build out HelloGold. So we actually converted the Ether into currency along the way over the first 3 months following the sale. I think the fall of Ether over the last 6 or 7 months hasn't really affected us, because we had already sold out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the SE recently made some new rulings on the trading of digital assets, including a statement that tokens offered under ICOs are regarded as securities if they have the characteristics of securities. And I know you took pains to declare earlier that this ICOs were made in Singapore. But would they affect the regulatory process here in Malaysia?
I mean, I think what's important is to understand, at least from HelloGold's perspective, why we did the ICO in the jurisdiction we did. Because at that point in time, it was unclear where Malaysia stood from a regulatory perspective. There was a lot more clarity and certainty when we looked at Singapore. And that's why we chose Singapore as the jurisdiction which we launched our token sale. I think that's incredibly important, because for a lot of participants like us, we want to go into a market where there is regulatory certainty as to what is permissible and what's not permissible. And therefore, from a Singaporean regulatory standpoint at that point in time, and I think it's probably true to say that it still holds true to now, our tokens would not be considered a security under MAS regs.
Okay, but can you just... sort of give this a Malaysian treatment if the ICO as existing in Singapore right now, would they have characteristics of securities?
I think the SC was very clear in how it wanted to define a security versus a utility or a payments token, which was a token can change its form depending on how it was being used over the course of the period. I think within the context, at least if I was to interpret the regulation today with HelloGold, I think it would probably be a security token.
It would be a security token.
Yes, but then as our business evolves and the utilization of the token changes, it may morph into a different form.
Right. Yeah. And how do your holders, the token holders, benefit from it? Do they, I'm sure they don't get to vote, but do they get dividends and things like that?
Well, we basically airdrop a little bit of gold every month to our token holders as a form of incentive to get them to market what we're doing to create awareness of our ambitions and the news that we are hoping to create on a global basis.
Okay, you also mentioned, and I think this is interesting, that the ICO is not only to raise money, but to take advantage of blockchain technology as well. And how far have this blockchain exploration gone?
Well, actually, it's been an interesting journey. We set out in 2016 to build our, what I usually call our core banking system on the blockchain, because we felt that for a startup that gave us certain attributes that were important and economically viable for us. It took us a lot longer to build it out because you're in fresh open space, but as of last week, we have now implemented our first phase of our core banking system on the blockchain. So our backend is now blockchain enabled, and we're going to be in an extended period of testing to make sure that the blockchain is working to expectation and to the accuracy that we need it to be. So right now it's a secondary system, but hopefully by the end of the year it'll be our primary system.
So from a user perspective, or I guess from a corporation perspective, what do you expect this blockchain to do for you?
Well, from a user perspective, there's actually no difference, because if you think about a mobile phone user, right, all they really care about is, can I afford the phone, and does it have the features and attributes that I want it to have? What really powers it is of very little interest. Another example is when you go to a bank, you don't ask them what core banking system they have. You
That's just
ask them, you know, what kind of products they have. So there's actually very little impact from the user perspective, but from the enterprise level, it's actually very important, because there are two things. One is that it gives us, I think, a secondary system that will hopefully over time give us better redundancy, better risk management against hacks, as an example. And the second aspect is a better ability to scale up. As you know, we're expanding. We have across outside Malaysia into the rest of ASEAN and actually into other parts of the world. And so for us, getting the right kind of infrastructure in place from the get-go is fundamentally important to our long-term success.
And a quick view of cryptocurrency after the recent bloodbath. Where is this going to go? I think you also did a video on asking the question if cryptos are the new gold.
I think if you watch the video, I theoretically it is possible, but I think practically there are a lot of challenges between where cryptocurrencies stand today and where it needs to get to become the new gold. I don't see it happening in the short to medium term.
Price trend?
No, just in terms of adoption.
I mean, price trend of the cryptos. Would you see a rebound this year?
I think this year is going to be quite challenging for the space. I think there are a lot of issues that have been created. I think regulation will, over time, help bring clarity to the industry. Then it's up to industry players to basically start to deliver on the use cases. And hopefully we'll be one of those that will deliver a very clear use case of blockchain and its use to the wider market beyond the very kind of small crypto community.
Okay, so you've raised quite a bit of money. You had $5 million from the ICO. I think Series A, you raised about $5 million as well. So in total, about $10 million US dollars. And you've expanded to the rest of ASEAN, and you've gone into Africa right now. But have this fundraisings, like quite lucrative, have they resulted in a boost to your AUM?
The fundraising has been used to kind of deploy our product into other markets. So we recently just launched into Thailand, actually just about 2 weeks ago. And the numbers on a like-for-like basis against, you know, our launch in Malaysia is significantly higher. We're getting ready to enter Indonesia. We're in the process of setting up in Dubai to be our hub for the Middle East and African region. We announced a partnership with a major financial inclusion player in Africa, I think last week. We have MOUs with parties in Dubai and Turkey as well for launches into those markets. So it's pretty exciting. the from an AUM perspective, you know, we're still quite small. We have 16, 17 kilos of gold, which is about $600,000-$700,000. From a user base perspective, we have about 70,000 users now, which is quite exciting. And we hope to see that ramp up pretty quickly this year.
Mm-hmm. And what are your expectations? Because I suppose user acquisition is a huge expense as well. And would a lot of this chunk of the 5-10 million, does that go into the cost of user acquisition from 70,000 perhaps jump to what, millions, to just boost your AUM?
Yeah, so I think the you're right in the sense that a major segment of the cost is marketing based. But I think this year is very exciting. We're hoping to announce a couple of interesting partnerships within the Malaysian context, and hopefully by the end of the first half we'll be able to announce partnerships in Thailand as well.
And the one partnership that you had over the last 12 months or so, I think, was with Aeon. You had that Aeon just to enable people to sort of monetize their gold with loans. How is that going? I mean, is this something that your customers use up a lot of?
Yeah, we're still waiting for our partners to launch that product. We've been working with them to get that ready for launch. So there has been a significant delay in the launch of the loan product, but we hope to see that happen this year now.
And you mentioned in forums that HelloGold offers more the convenience of investing rather than a physical withdrawal of gold. And this is very different from other gold investors, whether big or small. I mean, a lot of small investors also buy into like gold bars, small denomination gold bars and gold coins. The withdrawal is actually expensive. But having said that, will it be difficult to withdraw from HelloGold in crisis situations like what we saw 20 years ago in the Asian financial crisis and 10 years ago in the global financial crisis, when there was a lot of liquidity crunch going on?
So cashing out in the gold market is not a challenge, because the gold market is probably, I think, if I remember correctly, the third or fourth most liquid market in the world after U.S. Treasuries and Japanese government bonds and German bonds. So, you know, at any given point in time, the gold market will always be there. So I don't believe from a market perspective there'll be any challenges. So our ability to sell our customers' orders, I don't doubt that will happen. I think there will be significant issues before that market closes up. Now, in terms of liquidating into cash, that's not a problem, because when we sell gold, we get the cash. In terms of redeeming for physical gold, you know, that's a function of availability of coins. And, you know, usually there are a lot of coins available in the marketplace. Having said all that, you know, in our experience so far, we've only had in the last 20 months about 10 to 20 requests for physical redemption, and those were fulfilled. Basically, what happens is that our customers call in, they want physical coins, and then we basically get it couriered to them to wherever their address is.
So we have 10 seconds left. Just going to ask you for a quick one. Where do you see gold prices going for the rest of this year?
I think there's a good chance that gold prices will move upwards, because the pressures at a global level are all pointing to greater risk to the financial markets.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And that was Robin Lee, CEO and co-founder of HelloGold. I'm Julian Ng for The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.